no more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free world. No more.
So I want to talk with you about something. I was listening to George Carlin, the great philosopher, not long ago, and he was talking about how we are always engaged. We are always involved. We are always doing something. And he said, when was the last time you saw a kid just sitting in the yard playing with a stick? Now, to be honest with you, I remember that. We had a woman who was our babysitter, basically, because my parents travel so much. And she just got to the point where she couldn't stand three boys, even in that big house. And she would literally say, out, you have to go outside, period. You know, and we lived in the South. It was hot, but that's okay. You know, it was not like we were going to have problems. We were in the suburbs. So go out, go in the backyard, go out. And I can remember wanting to go back inside to watch television, because that was the thing I did back then, and eat. And I wanted to go back inside and do those two things. And she said, no, out, go out. And I can remember picking up a stick and literally like just like drawing in the dirt, you know, and just. And I've thought about this because especially now with our complaint-free meditation group that we do every morning at 8:30, I've thought about the fact that when you meditate, what you're doing is you're actually like going outside and just drawing in the dirt with a stick. You are emptying your mind. You are making your mind be bored. It is so hard for us to be alone with our own thoughts. I was thinking about this earlier because after Marty left almost a year ago, there were times when I just had to do something to keep myself busy. I would go to see friends or I would work in a restaurant. I just could not be alone. And I thought about the idea of being alone in the future. If I knew that Wednesday night I had nothing scheduled, I would feel so afraid of just being alone with my own self and my own thoughts. Now, of course, I really like it and I enjoy it. And I realize that we don't want to sometimes be alone with our own thoughts because our thoughts can be worrisome, they can be tormenting, they can be shame-making, they can be blaming of other people. And yet when we are sitting with our thoughts, that is when we can actually experience them and feel them and know them and see the feelings or experience the feelings in our body that the thoughts generate. That's one of the things that we look at in the Complaint-Free Meditation Program is that, yes, our thoughts, if you think worrisome, fearful thoughts, your body is going to feel the tension. However, if you've had drama and trauma in your life and your body already innately goes to that tension, your mind will look for reasons to justify that. In other words, it causes your body can actually cause your mind to look for negative things to keep your body still stimulated. And what meditation does is it bores your mind. It makes, and when I say that, I realize you might think, boring into somebody's mind. No, it's not that at all. It forces you to just simply sit there and be with your own thoughts. I remember when I was a kid, I've always been someone who liked to kind of get off by myself and write and journal and read. And I've always enjoyed that. And I remember because we had this over-the-top lake house my father owned. And Tammy knows, she came to senior cut day there. Anyway, we had this over-the-top lake house, several boats, etc. And there was an island a mile away from our house by water called Count's Island. And I used to like to take the canoe and a journal, which a journal to me is not this leather-bound tome, okay? It's a composition notebook like we used in college to take notes. I've got literally a drawer full of them. And you know what I do with them when I'm done? I throw them away. There's no need. I find I don't go back and read all that stuff. But anyway, I would take my journal. I'd go out to the island. And I would spend the night many times, just watch the sunset, build a fire, etc. And I remember one night, my dad didn't know I did this because he was not home a lot, but he was home and I decided I was going to do it. And I remember him shouting out at me as I'm going, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going to Counts Island to camp." And he said, there was a pause. I could see his silhouette on the dock as the sun is setting, you know. And he goes, "Do you want a portable television?" I said, "No." And then he goes, "A radio?" "No." And my dad was one of those people, too, who just absolutely never, ever, ever could be alone with his own thoughts. He had to have the television blaring 24 hours a day. So all of this I'm bringing around to say that one of the things that we might be doing to cope with the virus is to turn up the entertainment. I know that we're all watching Netflix more and more and more and more. We're not commuting. I find that I'm taking a little bit longer lunch. That's when I watch television, is I make my lunch and I sit and I watch TV while I'm eating, which I know is not the healthiest thing in the world to do. But it's a way of limiting it, because as soon as I'm done, I turn it off. My question is, are you getting enough boredom in your life? That is my straightforward, straight up question. Do you have times of absolute silence when you simply are? That's what the meditation program does, by the way. If you choose to join us, and I hope you do, give it a try. Complaint-free meditation. Just sit with us and see what it's like, and see how much pent-up anxiety is in your body. We talk about having anxious thoughts and anxiety. A lot of it is pent-up anxiety in our bodies because we simply are never quiet. One of the things that I'm working to do is on the weekends, I go and I sit by the pool because it's open here where I live, and I don't take my phone. Now, I always have a reason to take my phone. Oh, I want to finish listening to this podcast, which is going to help me with my daily jump starts, or I'm going to listen to a song, or I'm going to call my daughter, or something like that. And it's always a reason. One of the things that I like to do, I haven't done it in a while, is what I call Amish Sunday. Amish Sunday. No electronic devices, no TV, no radio, no podcasts. And when I say that, you, like me, probably go, "Oh, I could never do that." You know what? Isn't it amazing that what we can't do with is being distracted and entertained? That we simply can't be with ourselves? That just like back when I was so fearful of being alone by myself because I was going through so much mental pain, that just being alone is so difficult. I've shared with you a wonderful movie about meditation called Dharma Brothers, and it's about a prison in Alabama where the prisoners simply begin to meditate, and they were doing what's called Vipassana meditation. If you want to try a type of meditation, simply, as soon as we're done, do it by yourself, turn off everything, and sit there in the quiet and just notice every thought. Don't follow the thought, notice the thought. There's a difference between noticing a little fire popping up or a spark and running over and adding timber to it and adding kindling to it to make it burn. That's what we tend to do. Vipassana meditation is you simply sit there and you allow yourself to notice your own thoughts for a long period of time. When we meditate, it usually takes 10 minutes. I was explaining this during yesterday's meditation. It takes 10 minutes to get the body and the mind to shut up and be still long enough for us to truly get the benefits. So, my question for you is, are you aware of how much you're just taking in rather than being still? The actress Rebecca De Mornay was talking about her journey into meditation and starting to meditate. And she said that one of the best pieces of advice she ever got was, don't just do something, sit there. Don't just do something, sit there. It's amazing how often when I've got an issue, something I'm trying to fix, like a software problem or a business thing I'm trying to figure out or a scheduling conflict, trying to arrange being almost in two cities at the same time to deliver speeches and all this kind of stuff. And I've got all these things and I jump in working on them without giving myself time to ponder and think about them. That's why I like getting up so early in the morning. I'm usually up by about 5:15. By 6 o'clock, I'm sitting there waiting, literally staring where the sun is supposed to come up. And I have my journal. And you know what? Teddy forces me to even put my journal down and just be with him. Because he jumps up. He will get between me and my writing. And he will do it over and over and over again. If I pick up a book, he gets between me and the book. So he forces me to take about 15, 20 minutes to just be with him before I even begin to read. One of the things that I like about my iPhone is that every Sunday morning it tells me how much time I spent staring at that screen. It's amazing how much time we spend staring at screens, and yet we say we don't have time to read books. We're up on all the latest Netflix shows, but we don't have time to put a pen to paper and be with our own feelings in a journal. I want to invite you to consider all of those things, not to shame you. I just want you to know how much richer your life would be if occasionally you just sat around and did nothing. I can tell you it's a struggle for me, as I've shared with you, but it's something I work to do. And meditation is consciously doing nothing. It's consciously doing nothing. Gail Varney says, good morning. Lynn Ballone says, morning, Will and everyone. Dominic Quartella says, ah, oh, he's camera shy about Teddy. Mark Gleason joined us this morning, a little bit late, but with us as always. Sherry Green says, good morning. Victoria Evans says, hello, Will, Teddy, and everyone. Thank you all, by the way, for continuing to share. I love it when I see sharer. It was great memories, Tammy says, about the senior cut day at the lake house. Trish Parr says, good morning, a member of our Complaint-Free Life program. If you'd like to get in and check that out, that would be great. Go on a media diet, Marie Johnson says. You know, I think that's actually a very, very good idea. At the very little least, one of the things I recommend is what I call Dr. Pepper times. Now, back when Dr. Pepper was only sold in bottles and we used to go buy them down at the country store, it was literally called the country store, it said 10, 2, and 4 on it because Dr. Pepper was originally marketed as the first energy drink because of the caffeine and the sugar. You were supposed to drink one at 10 a.m., 2 p.m., and 4 p.m. that way to keep yourself basically caffeinated and never have any lulls in your day. So what I do is 10, 2, and 4. I can check the media or I can check my emails, whatever, at 10, 2, and 4, not whenever I feel like it, because heaven help me, that is often. I have a rough time only doing one thing, says Patty Gay Young. I understand that. I do. And sometimes it is that focus that, and my question, I guess, would be to you, do you meditate and do you do so on a regular basis? Because one of the benefits people find from daily meditation is that they get to focus easier and for longer periods of time. Hold on just a moment. Linda says, that is so true, Cynthia. I feel guilty when I am just sitting. Keep thinking of things I need to do. Michael says, thank you. Let me touch on that really quickly. Because the dominant thoughts in my mind tend to be, I am behind, and I should, whatever I'm doing, I should be doing something else. I'm behind wherever I am, whatever I'm doing, and whatever I'm doing, I should be doing something else, unless I meditate on a daily basis. If I meditate on a daily basis, then that feeling of anxiety, of gotta go, gotta do, goes away, and I'm able to just focus and be comfortable, you know, and to realize that there is no there. I'm never going to get it all done, as Gertrude Stein said. So, I see Bill Hammond joined, but it's time for us to say goodbye. Yes, that's why I love the complaint-free meditation. I love it. Thank you, Cynthia. And I'd love for those of you, I know that Tammy was with us yesterday, Share your feelings in this thread about what you feel about doing our complaint-free meditation program so that everyone can see. And I'm going to say goodbye because it's 8:20. At 8:30, we begin the complaint-free meditation. And today, I am not 100% sure what it is that we're going to meditate about. I know I've got it worked out, but sometimes I have trouble. I can do it when I'm doing it, but sometimes remembering is a bit of a challenge. Anyway, nonetheless, if you would like to invest 20 minutes in feeling great for the rest of the day, give it a try. Complaintfreemeditation.com. You get a 30-day free trial. Everybody, thanks so much for sharing this message, and I look forward to seeing you again tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Time. Remember, you are blessed and you are a blessing. Enjoy today. I love you all. Bye-bye.
No more complaining people. Their lives are changing. We're flying high, creating a complaint-free